in other words, those parts that had to be burned on the altar, and after also giving to the Kohen those parts that the Torah prescribes to give to the Kohen. You have, for example, Teva Halchayayim, in other words, the cheeks of the animal, the maw of the animal, and also the Zeroah, the fore leg or something like that, that has to be given as a gift to the Kohen, okay? Of course, that's only as far as sacrifices are concerned. I mean, you realize that as far as the kind of meat that we eat today, the Zeroah is what we're eating. We're not eating the hindquarters for the simple reason that in order to eat the hindquarters, we'd have to have people who are expert menachrim. Yeah. You know, they would know exactly how to pull out all the prohibited veins and fat and everything else, from it, so that we could eat it. In Eretz Yisrael, there are.
Europe,
there were certainly expert menachrim, okay? But in America, it seems to be a lost art, because we have so many animals available, and we have so many goyim who are eating that they could take an animal which is slaughtered kosher and simply take the hind part of the animal and give it immediately to the treifer trade. Yeah. So as a result, you don't know. It's like today, for example, when you have pre-kosher meat, which is a wonderful thing. But nevertheless, I'm afraid that we'll also be raising a generation of men and women who don't know the first thing about how to soak meat and how to salt meat and so on.
Right. That, I just, again, wasting time.
Yeah.
But I remember, and nothing to do, so I was looking at the chicken my wife had bought at the Super Salt. The beef that she had bought at the Super Salt.
Yeah.
And so I look at it and it says, minukar, the,
hudach, minukar, hudach, separate, right.
Mumlach,
yes.
Mumlach, went for rinse.
Mudach. Or Mudach, either one, yeah. Mudach would be the best, yes.
But Minukar said, what is this? I had no idea when I looked it up. It dawned on me, this is what we never do this here. I mean, severing the thigh, I don't know what the name of the vein is.
Yeah, right, you have to take
is,
out certain veins and, certain things have to be removed. Fat.
Yeah.
Difference, I'm not talking about permissible fat, which we call shuman, but there's also trefa fat that we call chalav that has to be removed. Okay.
I guess there are people though that in this country actually know.
Know
how to.
Expert butchers know a great deal about that, right? I have to say, with all his faults, but he was an expert butcher. I mean, he knew this.
He knew this.
I remember his father and his mother yet. His father was a butcher before him.
I didn't know.
Back in Willimantic, yes. This goes back over 50 years ago or so. But it was an old-time butcher, and, he had learned to trade in Europe and so on, and Abe's mother was the daughter of a butcher, so she certainly also knew the butchering business. So, these were skills that he had. There's no question about it.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, getting back to with the Rashi over here. So, we see then that if you slaughter outside of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, or if you offer up an animal outside the place where it has to be, then in that case you are violating the law and therefore you deserve malchus. Okay? Right. Bachutz. Asoras Malay says the Shomer Lecho Ben Talei Osef. And then, of course, Asoras Shoychet. The fact that you're not allowed to even slaughter outside, he says, Yalpinim Bizvachim. We learned that in the Gemara Zvachim, Perak HaShechet Amale, in the chapter HaShechet Amale, as you see the Stav Kufov in Zvachim, he says, Iko de Yalef, there are those who derive it from the fact, and lo yisbechu od, as if Chechem Nasirim, in other words, that Jews are not allowed to offer up their sacrifices to, literally, the satyrs or to the, to the idols or something like that, okay? Which would be if they would do it outside the precincts of, the Beis HaMikdosh, or back in the days when the Mishkan was there in the wilderness. The Yikudi Aleph Lo Mikzerish of it. There are those who say, no, they derive it simply by a similarity of language. The Havoah Havoah. In other words, that they bring it, from the word Havoah, Lo Sodi and so on, the Sheikhet B'Maleh, okay? what if a person eats on Yom Kippur? So it says, V'yalav ha-tzorasei b'ferek pasul yom. We learn the prohibition concerning that in the final chapter of Yuma. There, of course, it deals with the laws of Yom Kippur, and it deals with the problem, you know, about eating and drinking and so on, okay? Hamafate mes ha-shemen, what do we mean by that term? So he says, ha-os ha-shemen, if a person makes olive oil, v'dugmas shemen ha-mishcha, in the using the pattern, so to speak, the example of the shemen ha-mishcha. The shemen ha-mishcha, if you remember, was olive oil which was mixed with various spices and things like that and used in order to anoint things in the Beis HaMikdash, right? That's what I say. And what is the pasuk, you know, where it is prohibited? So he says, v'mat kunto le'tzasu kamo. It says you're not allowed to make exactly like it. Okay? V'chein b'ktoris. Same thing applies to ktoris. There also says, v'mat kunto lo'tzasu lochem. Right? You're not allowed to make it in accordance, you know, with the pattern, according to the formula in which, you know, it's described. No, Kateris is what we say in Pitta Makteris, you know. Sorry, at Saperna, Chelban, Boina, etc., etc., all these different things, you know, that go into the making of the Kateris. So we cannot make Kateris using all these different ingredients and according to the weights established, you know, Mishkal, Shim Shimona, and so on and so forth, okay?
Well, we're prohibited from doing it.
Yeah, well, prohibited from doing it, exactly.
What's Matkonas?
Matkonas means according to the pattern for it, okay? Torah uses maskonis halveinim in the sense of, you know, the number of bricks that had to be brought, for example, by the Jews in Egypt. Pharaoh, remember, said to them, you have to go out and get your own straw and so on, but you know, maskonis halveinim tetenu, you still have to give the exact number that you did before. So, and then, in reference to both the Ketores and the Shemen HaMishcha, it's written of Matskunto, Matskunto, and so on, meaning according to the exact amount, you know, according to that formula, okay?
Thank you.
The Hatzach b'Shemen HaMishcha, what if a person anoints himself with the Shemen HaMishcha? It says, may also show us a Moshe b'Midbar. In other words, if he used the anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu himself had, you know, made in the wilderness, Tefsir, where it's written, in that connection, Al Besar Odom Lo Yisof. It may not be used to shmear, right, upon the flesh of any man. Because, you know, it had to be used specifically for the anointing of the various kalim and so on in the Beis HaMikdash. Ochal tevel, if a person ate, as we already explained, tevel, in other words, food that the trumas, the masters, have not yet been taken from it. So he says, that's how I say, we find the warning against doing that. He says, the lo yechalalu es kodshei b'nei Yisrael, ashe yorimu, okay, that they are not allowed to profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they will give as a truma, which they will give, in other words, as an offering to the Rabbeinu Shalalem, or as they will be giving as an offering for the Kohen, because truma is given to the Kohen. But the point is, it's Kodesh, okay? So you're not allowed to do that. And why does it say Yorimu, which they will? So it says, Ba'atzidin Lisrom HaKos Medaber. Torah here is speaking about what they will give truma. You're not allowed, in other words, to eat food from which truma will eventually have to be given. Okay? The Hachim Yifoish Lo B'Sanhedrin Be'ilah Nasrofen. It's in Sanhedrin that there they give the derivation. Ma'aseh Rishon Shlo Nito Trumaseh. So, and what about Ma'aseh Rishon? You know, that which has to be given to the Levi. And then the truma, in other words, the small percentage of that Ma'aseh Rishon is not given to the Kohen. So he says, Afu Tevel, as long as the truma has not been taken from it, the gift to the Kohen, it remains in the category of Tevel. So whether you, you know, eating actual Tevel or you're eating even Ma'aseh Rishon, which in itself, you know, you might, it's a sacred thing, but if you didn't take the truma out of it, then in that case it's tevel. V'maitzah shenish loy nipta, v'hu ochloy chutz Yerushalayim. Alright, maitzah sheni. It says, this 10% of the fruits and so on, you know, that grew, this is my maitzah that I have to bring to Yerushalayim, right? But since I can't bring it to Yerushalayim, according to the Torah, I'm supposed to sell it and save the money and then use it in Yerushalayim. But I'm hungry right now, so that therefore, who's to stop me from eating it right now? So if you eat the maaser sheni without having redeemed it first, and of course you're doing it outside of Yerushalayim we're talking about, then in that particular case, you are in violation. The pasuk says, Lo sucha le'echol b'sharecha, you're not allowed to eat in any of your gates, meaning any place where you live, except where? That's what the pasuk continues and says. You're only allowed to have it in the place which God Himself chooses. And of course, in the case of Maaseh Sheni, it means in Yerushalayim itself. It doesn't mean it has to be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash, but you have to bring it within the walls of Yerushalayim. Remember, we had this business about the tree.
Tree, right. The branches hanging out.
Right, exactly. Hekdesh lo nifta, as we already explained, you know, this is hekdesh which has not been redeemed. That's our soul. Einam mefareshes kol kach. So Rashi says the warning against doing that is not really spelled out so much in the Torah. So therefore, benira beinai, it seems to me, says the mehachot, that it's derived from the following. The Tanya, we've learned, Zmora in Sanhedrin, which says, hizid ben me'ila, if he deliberately trespassed by taking something, you know, which belonged to the Beis HaMikdash without having redeemed it. So Rabbi Yomer b'miso, then Rabbi says he deserves the death penalty. But the sages say, no, he's warned that he shouldn't do it, and of course if he violated, then of course what would he get? We get malchus, okay? The Amrinan, and we say over there, my tatme the Rebbe, what is Rebbe's reasoning? He says, ask your chet chet mitrumo. He derives it by gezeirah shava from trumo. Rabbanon, but the rabbis came along and they say, no, miyet rachmono, the Torah wants to have an exclusion. Umesu bo, that they die by it, meaning by what? By some other things, you know, that for which the death penalty would be, but below b'me'ilo, but they would not get the death penalty for trespassing, you know, what belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Mimisa hu de'ate, right? In other words, the Torah comes along and it saves him, you know, from a death penalty. Ugezera shava, and as far as that gezera shava, the kayomo, fine, okay, good. He likes the gezera shava. So let him keep it. Chet, chet. Good, you like that? It's all right. We're not going to argue with that point. But the alpinan atzhoro, the ilami atzhoro, the truma. But we find, on the contrary, that a warning against me'ila is really derived from a warning against eating truma. The siv bo, concerning which, in the case of truma, it says, v'chol zor lo yochal kodesh, right? That anyone who is not a kohen, zor over here means anyone not a kohen. Okay, literally a stranger, but that means anyone who is not a kohen is not allowed to eat kodesh, holy food. The rov hilchos meila, he lameda mitruma, and most of the laws concerning the trespassing by, you know, violating that which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, this we learn from the law of truma that we just mentioned over here. B'toras kohanim, we learn it in Torah's Kanan, which means, this is the Medrash, we call it the Sifra sometimes. It's the Medrash to the book of Vayikra, where you have many of these different laws explained, okay? And B'gezer Shavazu, as a result of this Gezer Shavazu that we just mentioned, you know, that the Chol, you know, Kodesh Kodesh, okay? And then finally, B'echel Demola, Garsin and Shuchayev. If a person eats an ant, so we learn that he is liable. Why? Mishum sheretz ha-sheretz al-horetz. Because an ant is also like a creeping thing that crawls on the earth. So you're not allowed to eat ants. Okay? Don't. They don't appeal to me.
You mean you never ate chocolate ants?
Never ate a chocolate ant. Never even ate rattlesnake meat.
How can you shut the rattlesnake?
How can you shut the rattlesnake? Good question.
And not only that, it's not kosher.
Obvious. You know, it's funny, you know, last night Sam Pava and I were in Food Mart talking to a group of kids from Sinai and Jacob and so on about, you know, what is kosher meat, and so on and so forth, what to look for, and kosher, the symbols and things like that. Amazing how many of these kids have absolutely no concept whatever of what kosher is. None.
They get it at home. They'll get it at home.
Unfortunately. We've raised a generation of kids who they go to religious schools and know nothing at all about Jewish religion. Nothing. Tragic.
Yep.
All right, let's continue with the Gemara now.
Today, after listening to you last night, they know more. They know something.
Yeah, hopefully they know a little more. And of course, Sam also contributed his.
Who was last night?
Huh? Project Chris is Katoni. Chavemis is Bezdin Le Katoni. Gemara says, how come right at the beginning of this mission over here, we learn about people who are liable to the penalty of Kores, right? But we didn't learn about people who are liable to the death penalty. So the Gemara explains and says, Masnisen, Mani. Whose opinion is the Mishnah following over here? He says Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The Tanya, as we have learned, Echot Chayvei Krisos, the Echot Chayvei Misos Bezdin, it makes no difference whether people are deserving of the penalty of Kores or of the penalty of death imposed by the court, by the Bezdin. Yeshno Bichlal Malkus Haboyim. And both of these different categories of transgressions are to be punished by the 40 lashes. Of course, the 40 lashes we'll discover afterwards. It's not really 40, but it's 39. Okay. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. This is Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. Okay? Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, Chayavei Krisos, Yeshto Bichlal Malkus Haboyim. He says, those who deserve Kores, yes, they also deserve Malkus. She'im osu teshuvah, because if they did teshuvah, then Bezdin shel malo mashlin lahens, what I mentioned earlier this evening, so that the court on high will forgive them if they do teshuvah. But chai they miss as Bezdin, but those who deserve the death penalty, einu bichlal Malkus haboyim. They cannot be included in the law concerning that, you know, lashes are to be administered. Why? She'im osu teshuvah. Let's say that they did teshuvah. Nevertheless, while maybe the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and his court could forgive them if they do teshuvah, but ein bezdin shel matam eichlin lahen. The court down below cannot forgive them for the fact that, you know, they committed a penalty to which for which they deserve capital punishment.
So for that reason, they have to get Malkus.
Right. And now along comes opinion number three. So, all right, so where do we stand? According to Rabbi Yishmael, they should get both. Misas Bezdin, right?
And
also Malkus. Rabbi Akiva says, no. If they deserve the death penalty, they don't get Malkus. But if all that they deserve is Kores, then in that case, they can get Malkus down below, okay? And now along comes Rabbi Yitzchok, and Rabbi Yitzchok Omer, Chayvei Krisos, he says, those who deserve the penalty of Kores, Bichlal Hoyu. They were included among those, you know, who should have gotten, let's say,
Malkus.
Yeah, they should get Kores. Okay. What he's really saying is as follows. What he's saying is that the Torah didn't have to go and specify each and every case of incestuous behavior, what we call the Aroyos.
Yeah.
You know, because it's based on the word Ervas this and Ervas that and Ervas the other thing. Yeah. So, you know, we have at the end Achrei Motz, and also you have a repetition again in Parsha Zemo, in Parsha Kedoshim, as I said. Okay. So he says, originally you might have said that there should be one general, you know, theme that all violations of Arayos deserve Kores, right? And then the Lomen Yotzes Kores Ba'Choise. So then the question is, so why then, when they repeat it afterwards in Kedoshim, and it specifies, you know, that if a person has intercourse with a sister, right? That Laduna Bekores over there, it's written specifically that he gets Kores. So he says, it's Bekores Beloibe Malkus. In other words, if he gets Kores, he should not get Malkus. All right, so as we see, three different opinions so far. Rabbi Yishmael, give it to them, both guns.
Rabbi
Akiva. Misa Bezdin, and the other one, and also Malkus. Rabbi Akiva says, look, if they're going to get Kores, they don't get Malkus, okay? Finally, Rabbi Yitzchak, who says, if they get Kores, they're not going to get Malkus. Based on the Achoso, the fact that the Torah singles that out in order to tell you that they're not going to get, that they don't deserve Malkus, they get Kores. That in itself is punishment enough, and they don't get Malkus in addition. Okay? So these are the three opinions that we have up to this point.
Rabbi,
yes?
Yishmael, is that both Kores and they will get Malkut. Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
It's not that they're going to be put to death and whipped and put to death. They're going to be whipped.
According to him, they deserve also Malkus. They deserve Malkus. He wasn't talking. Take a look. He says, Echad Chayv, right. Exactly what he says. It makes no difference whether you deserve Kores or whether you deserve the death penalty.
Right.
But in any case, you deserve Malkus in both cases.
Right, okay.
This is what Rabbi Yishmael's opinion is. Okay? Whereas, as we said, Rabbi Akiva says, for those who are Chayve Christos, you get Malkus. But, if it's not, you know, if you were supposed to get Misa B'day, Misa Bezdin, then in that particular case, you get the death penalty, but you don't get Malkus in addition. And along comes Rabbi Yitzhak, and he says, even those people who deserve Kores still don't get Malkus. These are the three positions that we have. Alright, I'll go maybe another few minutes. We'll go to a quarter hour and we'll call it a night. Okay? Alright, so, they say, my Tama the Rabbi Yishmael. What is the reasoning for Rabbi Yishmael's opinion? Okay, he says, this is it. Pasuk says, Yim lo yishmer la'asos, it's called Divrei HaTorah Hazos, right? Torah says that if you will not observe carefully to do all these different commandments of the Torah, the Siv, then the pasuk continues and says, the Hifla Hashem is makosecha, that God will cause your makos, you know, to be spelled out, so to speak.
Right.
In other words, he will give you real makos. Okay. Now the word Hifla, of course, it is there's a double meaning to the word. Hifla, of course, is derived from the word Pele. Okay? What is Pele? Pele is wonder. So that, therefore, the Hifla Shemes Makasecho could mean, that God will give you outstanding Makas. In other words, because you don't listen to him, so therefore God will inflict, a very special penalty upon you. Okay? But we also find that the word Yafli is used in the Torah in connection with spelling out something, and not simply, let's say in your own mind you say this, but you actually utter something like that. It's written, Ish ki Yafli neder lad Hashem, right? The person spells out a neder to Hashem. He says, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I take upon myself that I'm not going to do this or that, whatever it may be. Okay? Of course, there are different types of nedarim and so on. But the type of neder that I spoke about in the Torah, is more in reference to those things that you say, like I'm going to give up smoking. Okay?
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to drink any wine or something like that. Okay? So, or I'm not going to eat from Chaim Yankel's food because I don't trust Chaim Yankel or I don't like Chaim Yankel. I mean, these are the Dorim. All right. The people will take all different kinds of vows, you see. And naturally, if you give a vow, you know, you take a vow, but you have to spell it out. You have to utter it with your mouth, okay? So, in this case, as we're going to learn, he says, Afloa Zu, this Afloa, he says, Eini Yodea Mahi. I don't know what exactly is the meaning of the word Afloa over here. Kishu Omer, when it says in the Torah, Vehipilo HaShofet Vekol Leponov, that the judge is to cause him to lie down, and then he is to be, you know, given Malkus before him. So, Eve Yomer, then I see that Haflor, which follows, you know, which the spelling out, it says Haflor is who Malkus he. This is Malkus. Because, as we learn afterwards, actually, at the time when Malkus are to be administered, they have to, let's say, first klop, second klop, third klop, fourth klop, and so on. But they don't do it like that. What they do is, let's say, Behu, Rachom, Yechaper, Ovein, Beloi, Yashchis, Behir, Bolohoshi, Vapoi, Belo, Yahir, Kol, Hamosai. How many did I count?
13.
Very good. Okay. So we'll learn afterwards that it has to be, you know, something that is divisible by 3. Okay, 39, since we say that you don't actually get 40 malchus, you get only 39, but it can be, the 39 can be divided by 3. Okay, so 13. So then you say the pasuk over again or something like that. But this is how they keep count. Behu, Rachum, Yechaper, Ovon, Velo, Yashchis, Vehibol, Shapol, Vehibol, so there are exactly 13 words in that passage. Some say that there are other psukim also with 13 words, but this is the one that is usually cited as the text word, okay? Well, see, and not only that, it says, Imlois, Sishmur, Lasso, says, call, right, that if you don't, if you're not careful to observe everything, right, then in that case, what? The Hiklad Hashem is Makasecha, right? That the Rebbeinu Shalem is going to give you Makas, right? So he says now, if that's the case, Kai Ve Ase Name, Imlo Sishmor Ksiv, right? Then those who are guilty of violating an affirmative commandment, of course, namely what did we say are the two? One of them is Korban Pesach, that he didn't write, that he didn't go to the Beis HaMikdash and eat the Korban Pesach. And the other one is, of course, Milah circumcision, he didn't circumcise. So in that case too, then what? Then we would say on the basis of this, that, you know, Mlo Sishmor Lases, you know, you're not doing it, so in that particular case he should also get Malkus, right? This is what we would say. You should also get Malkus. So it says, okay, if that's the case, Kavi Nasek Ami, right? Imlai Sishmo Ksiv, Uch the Rabbi Ovin, Omar Rabbi Eli, even as Rabbi Ovin said, Rabbi Eli, the Omar Rabbi Ovin, Omar Rabbi Eli, it says, Mol from Kol Mokim, Shinemar, Hishomer, or Pen, wherever it says, you know, be careful that you do not do this or that, right? Or the Al, don't do this or that, right? So Eino Elalei Saseh, this refers to a Lo Saseh. Doesn't the Torah doesn't have to say specifically Lo this and Lo that. You can also say Al, and we know that this is a negative commandment. Or it says Yishom Elecho Pen this or that. In other words, be careful not to do this or that. And that too, it's an implication that it is a negative command that you would be in violation of. Okay. So far, what have we established? We know now that on the basis of what Rabbi Ovin said, then Rabbi Eli says that wherever we have a negative expression, you know, of the commandment, you know, not to violate, and then what? Then the law of Malkus should apply to the violation. So, Ihochi, if that's the case, we would argue that what? Lav she'im b'ibas iname? That if a person violates a lo sa'aseh, but he doesn't do any action, There's no action involved.
No.
Let me give you an example. We had this earlier in the year. There's a violation against going and slandering other people, right? Talking Lashon Hara and so on and so forth. This is what the Torah says. Don't go around, you know, like a talebearer among people, okay? And what does it say in that connection? You know, because obviously it's a moral violation. But the question is, have you done actually any physical action against the person? You've spoken against it. You slandered the reputation, but you haven't done anything physical. So that being the case, should you get malchus for it? This is what the question is over here, okay? They don't give this particular example, but I'm giving you the example, you know, the lav shein b'maaseh, okay? So it says, ihochi lav shein b'maaseh name, right? That should also be punished with malchus. So he says, la seis ksiv. Well, it's written, you know, lo tishbor la sos. In other words, there has to be an action which is a real action, a physical action, as I said. So then they continue and they say, okay, how about lav shenitek la'aseh? A lav shenitek la'aseh, a lav means that the Torah says you are not to do this, but then after that it says, however, you can do this or that. In other words, you can change the violation by doing something which is affirmative, okay? Now, in that particular case, should we say that inasmuch as he is guilty of a law, even though subsequently he made it good by an essay, right? He should still get malchus? So we say no. It's dunya the law to chasima, because it has to be like the violation of muzzling the ox. Now, what is the muzzling of an ox? It's written, Leisachsom Shorbedisho, right? You're not allowed to muzzle the ox at the time when he is threshing. And then after that, along comes, you know, a list of things, including the fact, you know, that Malchus, okay? So in other words, it has to be something where he did it and there's no way to undo what he did, okay? For that, you get Malchus. But if you have a way to make good, then in that particular case,
you
would be okay. All right. We'll stop at this point tonight and continue next week. Maybe you'll do a little bit of the back Rashi over there the way I did tonight, but continue. And Baruch Hashem, we're moving.
So now we're on the...
Yeah, we're on Yud Gimel, Omid Beis, in the middle of the page.
Okay. All right. And it's January 31st.
Today is the 31st. So that means that next week could probably be February 7th.
Right.
Yeah. Particular point. So let's start with line 3 on the page over there. It says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chayve Krisus, right? Alright. Of course, what did he say about Chayve Krisus? Those who are liable to the penalty of Kores, they also get Malchus. This is what he said. So, Rashi continues, says, Im Hisru Behem Malchus. Yesh no Bichlal Malchus V'lokin. He says, if these people were given warning that they would get Malchus for it, then in that case they are among those who will be punished with Malchus, and then they get Malchus. We like him. He says, we ain't come Shem Chai Beshtei Rishuyas. And he says, here, we are not concerned that you're actually trying to give a double punishment to him. Sha'ato Onsho Malchus Makoris, that you're giving him, that you're punishing him by giving him Malchus, and at the same time, the Rebbeinu Shalom is giving him Kores, right? So, why is this not a violation of the idea that you should only get one penalty instead of two penalties, okay? So he says, Voloma Enon Shtei Rishuyos, so why don't we say that these are two actions for which, in other words, two different penalties should be assessed? He says, L'fisha Yochalif Par Atzmo Me'onish HaKores, because we say that he can get out of the punishment of Kores. How? Al yidei tshuva. By doing tshuva, mibesdin shomalem. And then the heavenly court will forgive him if he does teshuva. Avol chayevei misos. But if a person is condemned by a court to the penalty of death, then Einon Bechlau Malkos. Then in that case, they do not get both Malkos and also, the death penalty. Why? Sheyesh kan shtei puronios. Because you have two different punishments over here. They're not related, but two different ones. Namely, Malkos or Misa. You get Malkos, and one penalty would be Malkos, the other one is Misa. Umesha Yilke, so for Lehoreg, and you want to tell me then that after he gets Malkos, then he's going to be put to death? Shafilo Yaseh Teshuvah, because even if he were to perform Teshuvah, Ein Bezdin Shalamato Mechlin Loy Es Hamisa. The court down below, in other words, the court, the Bezdin itself, they cannot forgive him for the fact, that he committed murder, and therefore he should not get the death penalty. In other words, it's not within the power of a court to forgive him if, the court comes to the conclusion that, he deserves the death penalty.
Regardless whether he's right. True or not.
Right, right. Naturally, even a murderer, you have to realize, Gemara in the Sanhedrin describes, what happens after the court has passed the verdict of death. So then he has to be led to the place of execution. But in the meantime, they have all kinds of people posted to them in case somebody in the best, suddenly realizes that, hey, I have a good point, that could come to his defense, and so therefore he should deserve a retrial, and so on and so forth. Okay. And then, let's say it didn't happen, but he was led to the execution place where he was going to be executed. Even there, what did they tell him? They tell him, first of all, confess your sins, you have to make your peace with heaven, and things like that. And you hope that the death will be a kapara for all the sins that he's done. But the idea of tshuva is always there, you see. But the point is that the heavenly court can take tshuva into account and forgive. But the court down below, they don't have that prerogative if the person deserves the penalty of death. This is the difference between them. So this is the point that Rashi is making. And therefore, getting back to Rabbi Akiva, it would mean that if a person gets the death penalty, then in that case, he does not get Malkus. Kores, yes, because as we said, with Kores, the heavenly court can forgive him a sin if he does tshuva. So in that case, the only penalty would be Malkus. But both the death penalty and Malkus at the same time, this no. On the other hand, of course, we also learned that Rabbi Yishmael says that they can get it, you see. Okay? And finally, then we came to Rabbi Yitzchok, who says they don't get it in any case. Rabbi Yitzchok, Omer ab chayve krisas, he says, even those who deserve krisas, kores, right? Shehisru behen the malkos, who were warned that their punishment would be malkos. Einun bichlal malkos. Still, they're not going to get malkos. Why? The fi shekol chayve krisas, shalaroyers bichlal hoye. Says, because those who are deserving of Kores is the penalty in the case of the prohibited relationships between men and women, as we've discussed them in the past, in other words, all the prohibited relationships that are mentioned in the Torah and Sefer Vayikra. So he says they were all included as deserving of Kores, right? Dichsiv ki kol asher yaaseh mikol hatoevos ha'ela, right? Whoever performs any of these abominations, v'nichrasu hanefoshes, then the souls are to be cut off, literally, from the midst of their people, right? Which is the penalty of Kores. And then, this was in Yudches. Yudches happens to be the last part of Sedra Achrimos, where we come across these arroyos for the first time. Then, lo and behold, as soon as we get into the next seder, into Kedoshim, again there's a repeat, and penalties are mentioned. And it says, Loma Yotzes Kores Bachoisa, why does the Torah in Parsha Kedoshim then single out the person who has relations with his sister, Le'atzmo, by itself, as it's written in the Seder Kedoshim to you, the Yish, right? If he takes, his sister and so on and so forth, or Asher Yikach is more correct, and so on, okay. So why is it singled out? So he says, because it is lo dudu bekores. It is in order to say that his judgment is going to be what? Kores. So lechach shona bekores shalahen. This is the reason why the Torah repeats the fact that kores is going to be given for these violations. Lomar, in order to tell us she'ein bahen einish elokores tavadei, to tell us that only the only penalty that these people are going to get is kores. Okay. So therefore, to getting back to Rabbi Akiva, right, so according to his interpretation, as we said, then they only get kores, okay? And of course, what would happen if their action was not warned, they didn't get any warning and so on, then in that case, even they wouldn't get malchus, even though Rabbi Akiva would say that they would, but they wouldn't, okay? So these are a couple of things that we've established so far. All right. Then they ask about, if you remember, lav shein b'maaseh, right? A lav that you, where you don't actually perform a physical action, as I gave you last week, the example of a person who speaks lashon hara against somebody else. Technically, it's not an action because it's only words. Of course, morally, as I pointed out, it's a horrible thing. As a matter of fact, the Gemara equates lashon hara with murdering somebody.
Right.
Because you're murdering that person, his reputation, and everything else by, you know, slandering him, and so on and so forth. So morally, it's absolutely reprehensible. But from the point of view, can a court inflict penalty because a person can do that? In other words, can he get malchus for that? The answer is no, because it's a lav she'ein bo maaseh. Maybe we could think up some other punishment. But technically he cannot get it. And there are of course others, you know, where if you don't do a physical action, as I said, in that particular case, you know, that you wouldn't get well, you wouldn't get malchus, that's the point.
Yeah, that's what we try to avoid down here.
Kores, there are of course in the Torah exactly two cases where one of them is if you don't circumcise, you're guilty of, you're liable to kores, and the other one is of course if you don't eat the korban pesach. Okay, well, what would happen, for example, if a person, against the law of course, keeps chametz in his house, but it doesn't touch at all pesach long? You understand? Can he get malchus for that?
Did he sell his chametz?
Naturally, we sell our chametz in order to be 100% sure. But let's say a person didn't sell his chametz, okay? But he didn't do anything. It was locked up, he didn't touch it or anything like that. Of course, so there's a different law that then would be involved. This is a law of what we call chametz shavar lava pesach. In other words, if you have chametz in your own possession and pesach has come, then you cannot use it. It's a penalty that you're not allowed to use it after pesach. Okay? And this is why we're careful, you know, about, let's say, bakeries and stuff like that and so on. But, of course, I mean, we know that's why we sell our chametz, and that's why... What is the penalty?
You can't use it at Pesach.
If you eat chametz, then in that particular case, you certainly are guilty, right? You're guilty of kores, okay? But you could also get malchus for doing it. You get malchus, okay? But... just to do nothing, you're not going to get malchus. Okay? That's a lav shein bo maaseh. You're not doing anything physically. Okay?
So, lashon hara also, you do not get malchus because it's supposedly not a physical action.
No, because.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the category of certain mitzvahs is shevi al taseh. In other words, don't do something. Okay?
Right.
All right. Don't eat chametz, okay?
Right.
Okay. But, you know, Sheva al Taseh wouldn't apply to, let's say, don't circumcise, because that is definitely something where the Torah itself singled out the word kores. That is, you know, benichmas or benichras, and so on. You understand? So there, kores is mentioned as the penalty for failure to do that. But as a normal rule, your failure to do something is not punishable by kores. Okay? Nor is it punishable by Malkus, which is more important. I mean, one you're going to feel, the other one you experience afterwards.
That's the failure to do a positive commandment. I guess I was asking about what you mentioned before, just to get it in my mind. Lashon hara, which is a positive, I guess you say an active avirah. That is not punishable by, am I correct in saying it's not punishable,
by Malkus, for the simple reason that you're not saying something physical. You're not doing
a physical act.
Right. If you hit him, that's a physical action.
Right.
But to say words against him, that's not.
All right.
And yet, of course, we know that words are very important. There's no question about
words
it.
Words can kill.
And as I said, I mean, words can kill. Right, absolutely. The Gemara has all kinds of characterizations. Comparing that they say, you know, he's worse than a snake. The snake, when it kills, it does so because it's hungry, it needs prey or something like that. But he's worse than a snake. He's biting and he's poisoning minds of people and so on and so forth.
Like some of the politicians.
Yep. Okay, so you're right. So Lav Shem Bahasa Nami says Alma Amrina Muhammad Dukhte. We see, you know, many places that in the Gemara says that the Lav Shem Bahasa in Lokanalo, that there's no physical action at all. So that therefore, what is punishable with Malkus? So it has to be Dumyo de Lav de Chasima, Shehu Kosev Eisel Parshas Malkus. To explain that, I mean, Rashi is giving us the place, but we have the, if we would take a look at Parsha Kisetse, we have a lot of these different laws. Okay, so all of a sudden we have a pasuk which says, Lo sachsom shorbedish, you're not allowed to muzzle the ox while he's busy threshing. The idea being, you know, that first of all, to spare the ox, the physical problem, but also the ox would like to eat something. And the ox is entitled to eat while he's working. Okay, he's working hard, so he's entitled to eat. And when you muzzle him, you prevent him. So, and then right after that, we then have the section which tells us about Malkus. That, you know, people deserve, they come to the judge, and the judge decrees that the Piloha Shofet, and so the Kohen, and so on and so forth, you know, he gives him Malkus, and so on. So the question is, why are they two placed right next to each other? Or, as I should say, why are the two juxtaposed?
Juxtaposition.
Okay. So the answer is, because from the one, we learn that. Why is Malkus attached to the idea of Lo Sachsom Shor B'Disho? Because Lo Sachsom Shor B'Disho, you are doing something, and you're not doing anything that undoes it. Whereas we said before, the love shenitak l'maaseh, right? You have a negative commandment which you are violating, but then there's a way to make it good by making it all right. Okay. Example. Okay.
A wrong or right.
Yeah. You're not allowed to steal. Okay. This we know. But how can you make it good? You have to pay back. In some cases, you have to pay double the amount. You have to pay four or five times the amount or something like that. But you have to make restitution. So when you make restitution, then you're not going to get Malkus for having stolen. You understand? Whereas if you stole and you never did anything, I mean, you know, you didn't make the slightest attempt for restitution or something like that, then in that case, theoretically, you would be... you would possibly be given Malkus, okay? Although I have to tell you, then that comes into another problem, and that is what we call Malkus a moment. Can you be given Malkus at the same time also have the penalty of having to pay back money? So that's already a different story, okay? As you can see, the laws are not, you know, just... there are intricacies that are involved in the laws, okay? But we're establishing right now basic principles, namely, that it has to be like muzzling the ox. You don't do anything, so that is, you don't do anything to make it right, and so therefore you get Malkus for that. Okay. So, this is what he continued now in the Gemara text. Yeah. Okay. We stopped over there. The Lav Chasima, right. So he says, the Ashtalos is the Hochi. Okay, you've reached this point, he says. So kulhu nami dumya delav de chasima. Then all cases that should involve malchus should be like the prohibition against muzzling the ox, which we've explained. You know, right now it means that you do something, and which you know it's a violation of the law in the Torah. At the same time, there's nothing that you do in order to try to make it good. Okay. All right. So now he says for Rabbi Akiva. Now getting back to Rabbi Akiva, my Tamo, what is the reason for Rabbi Akiva? So we'll take a look for a moment at the Rashi, which is just a little bit above over there. It says Rabbi Akiva, he says, Kaven the Omar, inasmuch he said, Iaton Chayva Mishum Shtevisho, yes, right? He said that you cannot inflict two different penalties for the same offense. So Chayva increases Damil Lilka. Then in that case, why don't we argue that those who deserve Krisis, Kores, right, also should not get Malkos? Even though he claimed that they do that, right? Mm-hmm. You understand? The Hoshtei Rishuyas Dinu, after all, there are two different penalties, right? Shadayin Einish HaKoris Halov, because at the moment he still deserves the punishment of Kores. So in that case, then why should he get Malkus? If you hold that only one and not two, right? Because he's the one who said, you know, Kidei Rishoso, which is a singular form. Okay, so how is he going to answer? My Tava says, Kidei Rishoso, he said that, you know, you can only condemn him to one Risha, in other words, the one punishment for evil, Mishum Risha Achas, right? But not for two, don't give him two punishments. Okay, what do you do with him? And, getting back to Rabbi Yishmael, who said right up above over there that the Chayvei Misas Yeshta Bechlal Malkus, that people can get both death penalty and Malkus? He says, Hani Mili Misa Momun, or Malkus Momun. He says, okay, I'll accept the idea, the interpretation of Rabbi Akiva about Mishum, you know, Kedei Mishoso applies, means that you get only one penalty and not two penalties for the same thing. Where? He says, Misa Momun. In other words, if a person is condemned to death and at the same time it's for something, you know, where there should be money given back, so there's no question that what penalty is he going to get? He gets Misa, but he doesn't have to pay Mamon, okay?
Mamon being a penalty.
Huh?
Mamon would be the penalty.
Yeah, Mamon would be a monetary punishment, mm-hmm. Okay? Or Malkos a Mamon. Or, let's say, a person should theoretically be liable to both Malkos and also to monetary payment, right? And Rabbi Yishmael will also hold in that he only gets what? He would get the Malkos and not the Momon. Avol Niso Malkos. But what about the death penalty and Malkos? Why does he say that the Chayvei Niso are also Yeshno Bechlau Malkos, right? So he says, because he says Misa Malkos, he says it's a Misa Richtohi. It's like one great big death penalty. It starts with Malkos and it winds up with the execution itself. So since it's only one penalty, according to his interpretation, so that's why he can get both Misa and Malkos. Well, the Rabbi Akiva, how about Rabbi Akiva? Getting back to him, it says, Ihochi, if that's the case, then Chayve Krisis Nami. People who deserve Kores, what about them? Then in that particular case, they should also be excused, you know, from getting Malkus, he says. Says, my Amrit, Shimasu Teshuva. You argue that, you know, they don't get Kores because of the fact they can get Malkus but not Kores because they do Teshuva? But he says, Hashtamihus Liyavde. Time being, they did not do tshuva, so that therefore, what's wrong with getting both Kores and Malkos? So right now, it's a little bit puzzling. So Omer Rabbi Abohu, so Rabbi Abohu says, "Befeirish Rimsa Torah Chayvei Krisis the Malkos." He says that look, the Torah actually singled out the fact that those who deserve Kores should also get Malkos. The Gomar. That's on the basis of what? That he has he has learned a Gezeira Shava. Again, Gomar we've had several times, and we see that very often the word Gomar means that you have a tradition that two words being similar therefore means that what is true in situation A is also true in situation B. But as I've explained time and again, a Gezeira Shava is only on the basis of the fact that there, you have a tradition to that effect. You can't simply go and take any random words. There has to be a tradition. All right, so what is the tradition that Rabbi Abohu has over here? It says, the Gomar le'enei mile'enecha. All right, for that, thank God we have Rashi. So let's take a look. Okay.
Rashi, can I ask you what
we yes.
lost him a little bit?
Uh-huh.
All right. I think it was, I'm not sure, again, it's Rav Yitzchak, perhaps?
Yes.
Said that we don't have
Malchus
with Mesa because there's no opportunity for Teshuvah. Right? I mean, the
no, Rabbi Yitzchak, as a matter of fact, he's okay. the most leading. He says, Chai v'krisis bechlal hoyu. He says that they should have been, they should be getting Malkus, right? The Lomi Yotzes Kores Ba'choise. But why does, I'm reading up several lines up above over there, okay? Why, he says, then, the Kores, why is it singled out in the Torah in reference to a man having relations with his sister? It's laduna b'kores v'lo b'malkus, to tell us that he's going to get kores, but he will not get malkus. In other words, the only penalty that the Torah says for all these violations is kores and not malkus. I'm talking, of course, about like the arroyos and so on, okay, where kores is mentioned. So, in other words, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, if you have kores, there's no malkus, okay?
Right, okay. I'm
whereas Rabbi Akiva says, if you have kores, you can get malkus.
Mm-hmm.
And Rabbi Yishmael says that even a death penalty, you can have both death penalty and malchus.
Didn't one of, yeah. one of them say that if you have the death penalty, you don't get malchus?
Yes, Rabbi Akiva would certainly say that.
Right, that you don't get it because you have the opportunity for, you don't have any opportunity for tshuva after the malchus.
So well, that would be kores, yeah. But the point being, right. Yeah,
malchus does not have tied in with it, the concept of tshuva? Not at all.
No, no. Because Rabbi Akiva justifies giving malchus,
right,
even though you get kores, on the basis of what? That maybe if you have kores, then the heavenly court will forgive you if you do tshuva. So therefore, what does it leave it you with? Leaves you with malchus.
Sorry, so I'm saying malchus gives the opportunity for tshuva.
Yes.
Which would avoid chorus, but with
correct,
you,
correct.
In a sense, to what both a car, mouse boat right. and mesa, you don't have that opportunity. Really.
Right, because he said, I mean, Rabbi Akiva in general holds that you can only condemn a person to one penalty and not to two. Okay. Kedei risho so, he says, mishum risho achas ato mechayevo. In other words, you can condemn somebody because of one act that deserves a penalty, but not Mishum Shtei Rishiyas. Okay? So that's his concept. I mean, this is what...
That's just right. No, Shubat doesn't enter into it. It's just that
No. But, you know, the question was asked of Rabbi Akiva, what about the fact, you know, that you still say that a person who deserves Koris also gets Malkus? So he says, because if a person does Shubat, then the Koris will be cancelled out by the Heavenly Court. It will be forgiven by the Heavenly Court.
Yes, but he also says that he also allows really two punishments by saying that they're in effect one. He's saying that Malkot and I think it's Akiva, Malkot and Mesa constitute one.
No,
punishment.
This is Rabbi Yishmael.
Oh, this is Rabbi Yishmael.
Rabbi Yishmael.
Okay,
right.
That's,
I mean, they're all different authorities. Each one has his own particular interpretation. You understand?
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Listen,
it
please.
I find it difficult.
No, that's all right. By all means, ask. If we don't understand, we'll never learn. And lo habayi shon lamed, right? The person who is too bashful to ask is not going to learn. You have to ask questions. I have to ask myself questions. Okay, so. All right, so as we said before, Moravi Boba, Ferish Ripsa Torah Chai Vekrisis, the Malkus, right? It says the Torah specifically added the fact that people, you know, who deserve Koresh should also get Malkus. The Gomar le'enei mil'enecha, right? So as I said, here, let's take a look at the Rashi and see what is he referring to. All right. Le'enei. All right, you see it?
Yes. Where is that Rashi now about?
It's right. About the middle of the page.
It's pretty parallel to
the it's the end of the line.
Three lines up.
Le'enei, right. It says Le'enei. What is the reference over there? So it says the Pasuk is written over there, V'nichrasu Le'enei B'nei Amon. Okay? It's written that they, in other words, these people who violated the law of arroyos, you know, the prohibited relations, right, are to be cut off literally in the eyes of their fellow people, okay? Uchsiv, b'malkus, and then when we take a look at that parsha, as I said, it's Kisetse, where we have the law of Malkus, so it says over there, it's written, v'nikla ochicha l'yenecha. In other words, your brother will become abased in your eyes. In other words, by being punished, you know, he'll learn to be ashamed of what he did that was wrong. Okay. Actually, what's left out over here is the fact that the Nikla Chicha Li'enecha, we'll discover later on that the Gemara gives a different touch to it, namely that you shouldn't give him the 40 malchus. You only give him up to 39, okay? Or less if his physical condition is such that he can't take that, you know, 39. This has to be determined by a doctor, okay? But he is still ochicha. He is still your brother. In other words, even after he's been punished, he still has to be considered your brother. He's had his punishment, but accept him. Again, as a human being, which is, you know,
magnanimous.
Right, absolutely. So, the different ways. But anyway, as we see that, so here we have Le'enei, and here also have Le'enecha. So, if that's the case, okay, according to this Gezeirah Shavah, as I said, so, inasmuch as, Le'enecha, right, this is in connection with giving Malkus, and Le'enei is in connection with the Arroyos, where Kores is prescribed. So what do we see? So we see, therefore, that the Torah specifically wants to say that, what? That a person who is guilty, that is, who is liable, let's put it this way, who is liable to the penalty of Kores, is also liable to the penalty of Malkus. So that this would reinforce Rabbi Akiva's point of view. Okay? No. Needless to say, not everybody is happy with this. So Maskeflo Rababa Barbemel. Rababa Barbemel comes and he doesn't like it. He has other questions to ask. He says, Ihochi, he says, if this is the case, then Chayve Misas Bezdin Naminik Mareim, then why don't we learn in the case of people who also deserve the death penalty, why don't we learn also, you know, the simile, because we have the word me'enei, le'enecho, right? Now, what is the me'enei? So again, we'll take a look at the Rashi. Nigbar me'enei, you see over there, he says, Nechsir ba'avedes koichavim, it's written concerning idolatry, that im me'enei ho'edo nesesolish gogo, that if from the, you know, it has been done inadvertently, right? So that, you know, that the congregation doesn't realize that they have done a sin. Yeah. This is in connection with the chatas, okay? The various chatas. So this would be the, you know, the chatas hatzibur and so on, okay? Where the congregation itself, you know, did that. So at any rate, there it's talking about Aved Zorah, and it says Me'enei. So then why don't we apply the same penalty, namely Mila Einecho? In other words, give them Malkus too for that, instead of giving them what? Penalty of bringing a Chatos? Why Chatos and not Malkus? You understand? This is what the question is. So the answer that he gives is Donin Le'enei Mila Einecho. Okay, he says, you can make a gezeirah shava between le'enei and le'enecha because they're very close to each other, right? But the ein donim, you do not make a gezeirah shava me'enei mile'enecha because me'enei and le'enecha don't look exactly alike. So one is a genuine gezeirah shava, and the second one is not. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, "Am I nafka mina?" He said, "What's the difference?" I mean, right? You say, you know, that we have to be more exact, and why shouldn't the second one also be a legitimate gezeirah shava? The whole Tana de Rabbi Yishmael. Didn't we learn that the Tana from the school of Rabbi Yishmael said, "Vishav ha-kohen uva ha-kohen." Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Biyo. In other words, the Torah uses two verbs concerning a kohen. What they're dealing with is, again, let's take a look at the Rashi. It says Zuhi Shiva, etc. You see that? It says Lemaiden Zeh Mizeh Gezeirah Shava. We learn a Gezeirah Shava from the fact that it's written Veshava Kohen Nevoa Kohen, right? It says Ma Shiva, just as when he returns to the, we're talking about the Bayis HaMenuga. The Bayis HaMenuga, if you remember, they speak about the different leprosies, and one of them is the leprosy in the house itself. It's the leprosy in the house, so what do you have to do? You have to call in the kohen, right? And what does the kohen have to do? Naturally, first of all, he examines, and if he determines that it is leprosy, right? Mm-hmm. So, choleitz, the kaitze, the toch. In other words, he has to destroy the area where, you know, the thing is over there, right? And he has to get rid of, you know, they have to dump it outside, you know, where it won't infect anybody. And then you have to smear it up with plaster, you know, fresh plaster and so on, okay? These are the laws concerning. So it's written, first of all, the Shav HaKohen, the Kohen returns. And then afterwards, after 7 days, what happens? The Vah Kohen. Then the Kohen again has to come and visit the house and see. If for 7 days everything is okay, then in that case, what can he do? He can declare that the house is now okay, free of leprosy and so on. So they say, Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia. In other words, the Gezeirah Shava is that just as the first time, these are the actions that he had to do, so the second time, when he comes back again, he has to do exactly the same things over again. Okay? So, if that's the case, even though the word shav and ba are two words that are not exactly alike in meaning, after all, one normally means return and the other one normally means comes, but here we accepted a gezeirah shava, that on both occasions the kohen does the same actions over again. Okay? That's what they mean by zui shiva, zui bia. Okay? So, we accepted it. So he says, we yod nigmor me ene. Mila Eine. Alright, so he says, look, why can't we learn Me Eine from Le Eine, right? Daha Gomor Le Eine Mila Eine, right? In that, you know, you already accept the Gezeirah Shava of Le Eine from Le Eine, right? So, the question really remains unresolved. Why can't we accept it? So, Kibla Mine Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yitzchak, received the following interpretation from his teachers concerning. Okay, the Teshuva Zuhi says, "May Rabbi Abba Bamebel." He accepted it from Abba Bamebel, who was objecting a few lines of love. It says Rashi, right? Vishoni Allah Barisha Hamisula Vezdin Hakos Medaber, and he applies it to a Risha, in other words, an action where the penalty has to be determined by the Bezdin. And what do we learn over here? It says, G'day Risha So, means Mishum Risha Achas Hato Mechaido, right? That if it is an action punishable by the Bezdin, now we're not talking about the Bezdin up in heaven, but the Bezdin down below, right? Yeah. That if it is an action punishable by the Bezdin down below, then in that case you can inflict one penalty upon him, right? Risha achas ato mechaivo, v'i ato mechaivo mishum shtei rishus. you cannot give him two penalties. And he says, this is Berisham Sulebez Nakos Medabit. Torah is talking about an action, as we said, where the Bezdin is given the judgment, you know, as to what to do with it.
What's the Bezdin? I don't know.
The Bezdin means the court.
Oh, the court.
The court. You come before the court, and the court has to pass judgment. And if it passes judgment, the court can also decree what the penalty has to be. So that, right, but we're not talking over here, according to him, about Kores, which is up in heaven, okay? Yes.
The last part that you did, is this in Rashi or in the
Gemara? No, I'm back to the Gemara again.
Oh, back to the Gemara.
I'm back to the Gemara once more, right. Because Rashi is really repeating the same thing over here, okay? I started with a little bit with the Rashi, and then I switched over to the Gemara. This is what I did, okay? The Tsaras of the house, yeah, what about it?
When you said
yeah, well, that's what I said. I mean, but that's not the point that they were making. There was the Tsaras in the house. I said that. Yeah, I did say that, right. Yeah, I did say that. But what we were saying is, you know, that the action of the Kohen when he comes in is the same when he first comes to see what's happening over there. And what he does, you know, when he comes back again after 7 days, okay? Right, so that's the Gezeirah Shavah over there, and the thing about the Gezeirah Shavah over there is simply the fact that even though the two verbs are not exactly alike, but still they were willing to accept the Gezeirah Shavah as far as the action of the coin is concerned, okay? So that leads to the next question, so then why can't we say that Meyene and Le'ene, or Le'enecha more exactly, why can't we accept that? It's close enough, isn't it? So we say no, because we don't accept that, because we have to go back to the principle of Mishum Risha Achas. But what does Mishum Risha Achas refer to? So the answer that he gives over here is that it is a punishment which is Mesur Lebezdin, right? Barisha Mesur Lebezdin. It's something that the court itself has to pass judgment on. The judge, the court can say, you deserve the death penalty. Okay, in that case, no Malkus. The court can say what? That you deserve Malkus, right? And let's say that, you know, what you're excused from paying money. I mean, there's a difference of opinion about that too. But, you know, this is what we said. That Rabbi Yishmael was willing to accept that if you get Malkus, you're not going to have to pay a monetary fine. But it's the court that makes this decision. On the other hand, with Kores, the court can say, you are getting Kores. Because who is the only... Only the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in the heavenly court can make that decision. You understand? So that, therefore, according to this opinion, they should not get Malkus. But, Rabbi Akiva disagrees, because he says that Chayve Krisis Yeshdon Bechlal Malkus. So obviously the authorities differ one from another as to whether it can be done. Right now, as we see, according to him, we're talking about a punishment meted out by a court, and that should only be one punishment and not two punishments simultaneously. Okay? Rav Omar. Rava says, Isru Beilik Tolo, let's say that they gave him warning. We learned, you know, the witnesses have to give warning to the person, tell him before he commits the crime that if he persists in committing the crime, then in that particular case he's going to get the death penalty. Right. So he says that if they gave him this warning that he would get the death penalty, then he says, everybody's in agreement that he will get the death penalty and he does not get Malkus. Okay? Keep plige, but where is there a difference of opinion? The Isru Bela Malkus, where the witnesses never warned him that he would get a death penalty, but instead, what did they warn him? They warned him that he would get Malkus for what he's doing. Rabbi Yishmael Sovar Lav Shenitin Latzoras Misas Bezdin Loikin Olav. So Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that a negative commandment, which is subject to a warning that you could get the death penalty for the violation, then in that case, since he was only given a warning about what? Only about Malkus, not about the death penalty. So he's of the opinion that Bez did work in Olav. He will get Malkus as his punishment. Okay?
Yeah.
For Rabbi Akiva Sobar, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Lav Shenitan Las Horas Misas Bezdin ain't like it alone. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that if it is, a violation of a negative commandment, which can be, you could give a warning. Excuse me. You could give a warning, that. Let's put it this way, that the Torah says that death penalty should be given as a punishment, but you, witnesses, you only gave him warning that he was going to get Malkus for it, then in that case, this opinion of Rabbi Akiva would say, what? Ain't Lokin alav. That they did not get Malkus. Okay?
Yeah.
You're right.
So one of them
is a warning is also hathara, besides ashara's hathara.
Lahatsir or something, you're right, it means also.
I'm trying to think from the beginning, im hatiru. What would be the name?
Where?
This is like the third, in Rashi, the third line down.
Third line? Oh, in Hisrael. This is the verb.
Right. So the noun would be what?
The noun is Hasra'ah. But in Aramaic, you're right, there could also be Asra'ah with an aleph. But Lahazhir would give us Hasra'ah, but they use the word Asra'ah. In other words, the hay became an aleph at the end, at the beginning of the word, okay? So that this is what the Maisa is, okay? Right. But, Azhara is like the word lahas here, to warn somebody. Sure. So we have different words that mean to warn.
I'm sorry, the first is hatra.
Right, lahatra, right. And the verb is hitrubo, right. Or hisrubo, if we're going to use the Ashkenazi. Okay. At any rate, I see the rabbi is finished with his class. Okay, so let's get down roughly towards the bottom of the page and we'll call it a night, okay? Rabbi Akiva, so look, Rabbi Akiva, you just freed him from getting Malkus, right? So Ihochi, if that's the case, hi the Krisis Name, people who deserve Kores also, this is Allah Shanita Latsoras Kores who, right? That he should be warned that he could get Kores. You understand?
Yes, sure.
Because according to him, if you remember, that Chayve Krisis, Lokin, they get Malkus, right? So, shouldn't they be warned that they could get Kores? So he says, oh, no, Rav Mordechai, the Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai said, Rav Ashi says, Hochi Yomar Avimi Bagronia. Avimi from Agronia said, Mishmei the Rav and Rav's name, he said, Chayve Krisis, Lotzviche Hachtzwa. Okay? Right, that those who are liable to the penalty of Kores, they do not need an additional warning. Hasra. They don't have to be warned specially about that. Why? Shaharei Pesach Milo, because in the case of Korban Pesach, or circumcision, Onash Afal Pishalo is here. The penalty of Kores is mentioned in the Torah, even though no warning was given. So, from this, he applies the idea that you don't have to give hasra, in other words, you don't have to formally warn somebody that what you do is going to make you liable to Kores. People are supposed to have enough seichel to know that what they're doing is not right. Yeah. Kores is simply the plural of the word Kores. In other words, that you get Kores, okay? Yeah.
Excuse me, this discussion, though, maybe I'm getting lost again, is with reference to giving an exemption from Malkus, right?
Correct.
So when he's talking again in about krisis as well as nesa, the idea is that they're not warned of that, then they're exempt from malkot.
Yeah, but he didn't say, I mean, he didn't do in reference to koris before.
Right, no, he didn't.
What he said simply before is that a person was warned that he would get malkus instead of being warned that he would get the death penalty, then the death penalty cannot be given to that person, but malkus can be administered to that person.
I understand, okay.
That's what we learned, okay? But the question is, does a penalty, you know, of koris, does it require an additional warning?
Right.
Normally in the Torah, we find, you know, side by side, don't do this, and then if you do this, then the penalty will be this and this, okay?
No.
So if that's the case, then the first one we would say is simply asra, and the second one is oinish, punishment, okay?
So is the argument here that, well, I mean, there's the supposition that, that people will know the
right, because
Torah,
well, first of all, they have to learn it. There's no question. But then, you know, the idea is that their violation is so heinous in nature, you know, that they know that the heavenly court would not approve of what they did. Okay.
And since there are only two instances, also where there is krisis, right? They would know.
No. There are only two instances where kores is in reference to a violation of an affirmative mitzvah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay,
negative
I'm sorry.
Mitzvahs, you have more.
I'm sorry.
Because you have, and among negative mitzvahs, you have the whole list of the avroyas. In other words, if you had relation with this, that, the other one, so on and so forth. Okay?
Right.
All right. So, let's get down to the bottom over here.
Okay.
All right. So, he says, Chai v'kris le'tzicha asura, right? Sharei Pesach mila onash. In other words, punishment, the punishment, of course, of Koris was given. Afalpi, right, even though Shiloh is here, right? Even though he was not born. So they say, Vidilma Torah Korban. So they say, well, maybe he should be warned that he's liable to a Korban, namely a Korban Chatos. Deho Pesach Milo de Lesbehu Azhora, Lomaise Korban, inasmuch as, let's say, you know, you violated Pesach, right? Or you violated, you didn't, right. When I say violated Pesach, this means that you didn't eat the Korban Pesach, okay?
Right.
Or you didn't circumcise, okay? There is no warning given concerning them, right? No Hatzora. But nevertheless, they cannot bring a Korban Chatos to atone for it, right? So would we then assume that if they violated a negative one, a negative, right, for which the punishment would be koris, that they should bring a korban chatos in order to atone? So he says no. He says hasam lav haynu tamo elam yishum de iska shkol haTorah kol alav nitzko chovim. No, he says, in the case of chatos, normally the reason is because the entire Torah is compared to avodah zorah. In other words, ma avodas kechovim, just as in the case of avodah zorah, shevi al taseh, don't perform any action, in other words, don't go and violate it by serving idols, right? So I've called Shevi al Ta'aseh. So likewise, any case of just don't do anything in violation, right? And if you, you know, you could bring a chatos, but la fuke, just to exclude hane de kum ase, those where these two, namely the Korban Pesach and Milo, where you're given a definite command. All right, we'll stop over here at the bottom of the page. We'll start with the last three words over there with our Ravina Omar. Okay?
Thanks. So we're down on Amad Beis.
Right, we're down the bottom of Yud Gimel Amad Beis right now, and next week in Yotzah Hashem, we shall continue with Yud Dalet.
Okay. Oh, this is February 7, 1996.
Yeah. Ketachoto, Bato Viva Batimo, Baroti Rotov, it's a little bit of mom, Ebat Achoto Gila Abonu Yisa. Okay? Alright, so in that pasuk, what do we see? We see, first of all, that, you know, the punishment, what is the punishment that is specified over here? It's Venichritu, right? Venichritu. Liene Bnei Amon. Alright? So we see that Kores is singled out in this particular one. And then we see also that Evas Achoso Gilo, in other words, the stress is again that the fact she is his sister. Okay? So that these are a couple of things that we have to bear in mind as we'll take a look at tonight's Gemara. All right, so getting back to Rabbi Yitzchak, right? Rabbi Yitzchak who said that if you get Kores, you don't get Malkos. Why? So he based it, if you remember, upon the fact that Kores is specified for certain sins. Mm-hmm. Now, since the Torah specifies Kores, it means Kores and not any other punishment. So that's the reason why he holds to the opinion that even though you're liable to Kores, but nevertheless you're not going to get Malkus. So those are the three opinions: Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yitzchak. All right. But now we start with the new Gemara for tonight, which is at the very bottom of page of the Yud Gimel. Right on the base, yes. Okay, very bottom over there. Rabino Omar. All right, last three words. All right, Rabino Omar says, Rabino said, Le'olam kedamrim yikara. He says, in reality, it's just as we have already explained before. Rashi. It says, Tamei de Rabbi Akiva, that the reason of Rabbi Akiva is Mishum Shtei Rishu'ers, who? Right? Because, you know, you cannot mete out two different penalties for the same thing. Videko Amrit, and the fact that you said, Chai Ve Krisis Name Shtei Rishu'ers Hein, that, you know, the two, that people who deserve krisut, kares, right? Krisut, usually it's in the plural over here, but it could be either one, okay? Also, you know, that you might say that there are two different penalties. The akate enish kares olav, because the punishment of kares is still operating upon this particular person as long as what? As long as he didn't do tshuva. We have no indication that he did tshuva, so that therefore wouldn't it be giving him two different punishments, right? So he says, lo psiko milson kores. But nevertheless, we do not make a final determination that he's going to get kores. Why? Ho will the who to lui b'shuva. Inasmuch, it is completely dependent upon his doing tshuva. So this is what the Gemara text is saying. She'im osu tshuva, right, that if they did tshuva, in other words, these people who violated the commandment for which kores was specified, then bezdin shel mala mochalin lohen, right, the court on high will forgive them. So they say, my amrit, what kind of an argument are you giving me? Olei avut tshuva. You argue that, look, they didn't do tshuva, so in other words, you're giving them two punishments, right? Kores and Malkus. So he says, lo psika milso de Kores. There's no final determination about Kores, as we've said before. In other words, if they do tshuva, then they're going to be excused from Kores. So that therefore, if the court down below, the Bezdin, right, is giving them Malkus, so it's not a violation of the idea, you know, that you don't give them two separate punishments for the same thing. Okay? All right. So now they come back again to Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, right, he says, Chayvei Krisus Bichlal Hoyu, that those who deserved Kores were included in one general category. In other words, we could say that wherever we have, you know, the idea that Kores will be the punishment for prohibited relations, right? So it says, "V'loma yotzes kores bacho." So then, why, as we pointed out over here in the pasuk, is it singled out that achoso, right, that his sister, right, that is kores? So Rabbi Yisrael comes in and he says, "Loduna bekores v'loma malkos." His opinion is because that means then that you judge him; he's going to be judged with kores, cause given by the court on high, but below the Malkos by the court down below. For Rabbonim and the rabbis, Kores Bachos Elomeli, so now, alright, good, you got a posik, so what do you do with it? What do you need it for? Bachos? So the answer that they give in this case is Lechalek. Now we have to understand what does Lechalek mean. There is a similar law concerning Shabbos. You're aware, you know, that the Torah, it says, Lo Sevaru Eish Bechol Mosh Reisechem Yom HaShabbos, right? You're not allowed to burn a fire in your homes on the Sabbath day. Okay? That's right at the beginning of Parsha Vayakim. Okay? And of course, from this we know that they're not allowed to light a fire. So, I mean, we don't interpret it like the, you know, like the Karaites did, let's say, or like the Tzedukim did, you know, that not to keep a fire burning. I mean, what they set Erev Shabbos, you know, I mean, could burn, you know, right through the entire Shabbos day.
As long as you don't add any fuel to it.
Right, right, yeah. So, nevertheless, there is a discussion in the Gemara and Shabbos as to why this pasuk is singled out, Lo Sevaru Eish. Why does it say that? After all, isn't that a violation of the Shabbos as much as some of the other violations of the Shabbos? So since we know that you have to observe the Shabbos by not doing any melacha which is prohibited, so there's also melacha that's prohibited. So there's a difference of opinion among them. Difference of opinion is either they say the lav yotzos or the chalek yotzos. The chalek, the same word that we have over here. Lav means that there's a special prohibition involved in the burning of fire on Shabbos. It has its own separate category, okay? Whereas the chalek would mean that for each and every violation of any of melacha, in other words, and the, you know, a main principle of Shabbos violation, or toldos, which means, you know, the subsidiary ones, in other words, those that you derive from a main category. Okay?
Subcategory.
Right, a subcategory, okay? So, in either case, if you did it not realizing that it was Shabbos, or not knowing that it was Shabbos, in other words, you did it through ignorance. This is what we call behelim. Behelim. Why behelim? Because the Torah says in Parsha Noso, not in Noso, in Shlach, Parsha Shlach, it says over there, you know, that it's the ne'elav mimenu. In other words, it had escaped him. He had forgotten about the fact that he was not supposed to do it. Either he had never learned it, or he had forgotten about it, or he didn't realize, whatever it is. All right. So the question is, therefore, what is the chalek? So the answer over there, the chalek means that for every violation of the Shabbos, you have to bring a separate chatos in order to atone for it, okay? So that's what they mean by the chalek, for each and every one. So it's the same thing getting back over here. It's the chalek. In other words, we are to give separate, he has to bring separate chatois if he violated any of the arroyas without realizing that he had done something wrong. Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan said, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, she'im ha'so'on kulon ve'helim echad, then chayav kol achas ve'achas. That if he performed an action in which there were several violations of Shabbos, all grouped of varoyos,